translation of the verse. Thus, I had to arrange for the necessary ingredients and paraphernalia of sacrifice from the personal bodily parts of the personality of Godhead. By the invocation of the demigods' names, the ultimate goal, Vishnu, was gradually attained, and thus compensation and ultimate offering were complete. Purport. In this verse, special stress is given to the person of the Supreme Lord, and not to his impersonal Brahmajyoti, as being the source of all supplies. Narayana, the Supreme Lord, is the goal of sacrificial results, and therefore the Vedic hymns are ultimately meant for attaining this goal. Human life is thus made successful by pleasing Narayana and getting entrance into the direct association of Narayana in the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha. Seek blessings of all who know much more than me. You know that I'm always waffling my way out. Here is interesting that Prabhupada save us with the verse, because Brahma suddenly kind of jumps into this section of sacrificial ingredients, goes from the creation of elements and then goes to Viratrupa in this different manifestation, and creation from Viratrupa, and suddenly in one verse switches completely and speaks about sacrificial ingredients here. And then Prabhupada here in the verse itself speaks about persons straight away. Here you like this word, avyavaih, from the parts of the body of the personality of Godhead, denotes the person. And wherever you read, whoever studies Sanskrit, this word avyavaih always refers to the bodily parts or parts of something complete. Denotes Rajishirada Gopananda Kijaya. Denotes always a person. So Prabhupada's stressing this as a main point. He's not impersonal, but this person. So interesting that how we arrive to this question, for my own sake, I have to kind of jiggle again back to see how we arrive to this particular verse, this particular section of few verses about Yagya. All sprouts from the question of Maharaj Parikshit in, I think it's fourth chapter of this verse. Ask Shukadeva, Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami, please describe the creative energy of the Lord. And then after that, on the end of that, I think third chapter, in the fourth chapter, almost entire fourth chapter, what Shukadeva Goswami does, he offers the prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is about to narrate something most essential, most important in entire creation for all times. So this is not something, is overwhelming for everybody, I'm sure for him. He knew what he was going to say. He was direct contact with the Super Soul. But that's the way. Whatever we do as a devotee is also, you have to offer prayers, ask for blessings, ask for our own, no way. Krishna can take intelligence just like that. I hope you will not take from me much. So, and prayers, I have to kind of go through those prayers, like entire chapter describing them. For example, he says that Lord accepts three modes of material nature. He is liberating pious, destroying atheism, and awarding transcendentalists their own specific destinations. So stressing immediately, offering praise to that ultimate person from very beginning. He said, glorify, remember prayers, worship of him cleanses all effects of all sins. High intellectuals, or who have great intellect capability, they surrender unto him, and then are free from all attachments for all times, in past, in present, and future. Surrender to him, you'll be free from all attachments. And I said, no one great qualities like charities, learning, austerities, anything can award any substantial result without dedicating those very activities to the Lord. I say even lowborn can be, and sinful can be purified if they take this shelter of Supreme Lord. Everybody. He is a super soul. He is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva, immediately establishes supremacy. Although he is worshipped by all, still he enters into the family of Rishnis and Adavas and protect them personally. So that's a kind of inconceivable. As a constant thinking of him, one can see the absolute truth. If constantly think of lotus feet of the Lord, then he can see absolute truth at every step. And then comes nearly to the next chapter, which is speaks about Viratrupa and three Purushas. He said, to enliven physical body or living entities, he enters and lay down in the universe. We mentioned this elaborate, complex descriptions of three Purushas from Garbhodakasha, from Mahavishnu. And then Shukadeva Goswami offers obeisance to his father, Vyasadeva, in that verse. And what he says next, he doesn't say, okay, now I'll narrate, answer your question. He doesn't say, this is my realization, this is my opinion, this is my reflection. Although this would be very valuable, he is most exalted sage who arrived on the scene. But he said, in the past, very same question you asked me, Narada asked Lord Brahma. So we just, that's the safest way, following authorities. As they said, I will speak. And then Narada, of course, asked Brahma, said, tell me transcendental knowledge about soul and super soul, and then tell me about symptoms of manifested world, how it's created, and then under whose control this world is created, see. And then he glorifies Brahma. Everything in the creation, as we know, is within your grip as a walnut. You know everything, see. But there's a doubt, shade of doubt, that even you underwent austerities. If you are supreme, why should you undergo austerities? As he was kind of denoting that Brahma is supreme, because whoever studies and tries to come from the beginning of creation, if he is fortunate enough, he will reach Brahma. And behind, there's nothing to be seen. Say, even you perform austerities. And I said, then who gave you that power of austerities? That's a very intelligent question. How did you get this? So you cannot become God. You know, you perform austerities again, you gain something. And of course, Lord Brahma was pleased with that question because finally, as he said, they always glorify me as a supreme, less intelligent and foolish person. Think, I'm creator. These are very intelligent questions. I'm very happy because there's a chance I can speak of the real, real creator. He said, all elements of creation are parts of Vasudeva. See, all the, whatever I create is part of Vasudeva, all supreme personality of Godhead. And now this, we're coming closer to this particular section of verses about Yajna. He said that entire Vedas are made for the Supreme. They are made by him, and then all demigods are made for serving this Vasudeva. See? And all sacrifices are meant to please Supreme. What's that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Everybody knows. All sacrifices or austerities. Bhaktaram yagya tapasam sarva lokamahishwaram sukhinam sarva bhutanam gyatyamam shantim richati. It was all meant for the glorification of pleasure of the Supreme. Meditation, tapasya, they are meant to realize him, and inspired by him, I created the entire manifestation. CEO. He's above. He created first. Interesting. He's supreme, but he created first three modes, which are material, for the sake of creating chance for all living entities to go back home, back to Godhead. See, he creates the three modes, and then he performs those creation. He maintains. He destroys. But only jivas, created living entities, they are entangled with these three modes, and they are responsible for their activities. There's an interesting thing that all of us seeking, or at least in our mind, to do things which are not liable to anyone, not responsible, be free. Because any responsibility brings burden, great burden. And then this kind of tendency to be supreme controller above that. See, we are responsible. We cannot escape. See, and from that chapter, modes and elements are created. Not to go into the description of this at the beginning, before Viratrupa, first he speaks about all elements, all ingredients. How they are created from different part of the Viratrupa. And in the beginning of chapter 6, he speaks more about different creation from those parts of Viratrupa. You know, like what demigods represent, oceans, like what said, skiing are Vedic hymns. When he speaks about later few verses, Vedic hymns are meant for sacrifice. Then he says, from the tongue of Viratrupa, tastes and different foodstuffs are created. For offering to the demigods, that's an interesting thing, that from very beginning of Yagya, offerings and foodstuffs are meant to be offered to demigods. It's interesting how Lord, why he would do this? Why he would create such a sacrifices for offering to demigods, not to himself directly? See, this interesting point. But he made that every yagya begin from demigods. All like my kind of understanding is because at least in Vedic time, civilized society, they can see, perceived immediately actions of the demigods, rain, sun, air, everything is controlled by somebody, is controlled by demigods. They can relate with that. Therefore, demigods. Idea of supreme to create such a yagya is at least you acknowledge that there are higher authorities. This is how you start your journey, elevation. We acknowledge this higher authority. And you offer to them. Let's say you don't pay your electric bill by going straight to the queen. Maybe not queen now, it's prime minister. Whatever. You go and pay. That's my £20 for my, I don't know, 3 days electric bill. You don't do this. There's a procedure, and then ultimately government gets. So that's the idea. And also, I've seen many times mentioned, within the chanting of all these mantras, rituals, there's always offering to Vishnu. That's the key ingredients, as in this verse, on the end of this verse, it says, finally, you reach the Vishnu in some way, see. So that's the thing, by encourages worshipping of demigods. And he said, like, hairs of Viratrupa are different trees and plants for sacrifice, for yagya. See? Everything in Viratrupa, at all times, past, present and future, is created by Supreme and is above all. And it's interesting prayers, I mean, which he offered next. He said, his kingdom is for those who will never be reborn, but others who are not strictly following celibacy vows, they are meant to stay within these three worlds. It's interesting how this, but who will ever think, would we ever think, would anyone this planet, universe, think that this is a crucial thing. because of which we are staying in this creation, material creation, is unrestricted, uncontrolled sex life. Interesting. When you recall Brahma, he said when Brahma gave up his body, when he created his daughter, he said that sex life was not allowed for any living entity. It was not allowed. But somehow or other, Brahma was attracted to his daughter. And then he gave up his body out of shame and then created new body in which sex life was allowed. So interesting thing. So this all sprouts from the idea of Brahma. When he wanted to populate entire universe, somehow didn't it was not going on. You know, jivas were not embodied and then creation didn't go. From this contemplation, all this, I just guess that his mind was a little bit diverted to have this attraction, sexual attraction. And from that moment then, further creation was created. He said that by meditating after he got his new body, in which sex life was allowed, by meditating from his body, he said that two entities appeared, and he's mentioned, it was never mentioned what's the source of them. He's not even sure that Brahma is their father, they just appeared. They are called Kayam. Kayam means born from body of Brahma. And then those two, he said, one has a mustache, one was very beautiful. This was Svayambhuva Manu and his wife. They united, and this procreation started from that point. Anyway, this is another topic. And then, now he comes to this, very suddenly switches to sacrificial ingredients. He says, at creation, I hadn't had sacrificial ingredients. It was only me and the Lord. It was nothing, you know, he wanted, you know. And then he heard the word tapa. It was nothing, only him and Lord. He heard the word tapa. And then he set up himself to somehow acquire these ingredients for sacrifice. Interesting that there was nothing there. And Lord Brahma is known as Svayambhu. What means Svayambhu? Means born without, self-born, born without father and mother. So those who study creation, if they come to the Brahma, he's born from nothing. Then they'll, of course, consider he's born out of nothing. So that's the ultimate source of creation, is nothing. Even Lord Brahma, he couldn't see the Creator. He was wondering, what's that? Only he could see darkness. So far you exploit origin of creation, either with so-called spiritual ideas or material ideas. Ultimate, you can come to the darkness and realize or understand there's nothing beyond. Even Brahma couldn't understand what's the source of himself, see. So what to speak about, he's not unseen even by Vedic scholars, even by transcendentalists, what to speak of somebody else, So now Brahma, in verse 24, just a few verses before, he starts to describe the sacrificial ceremonies. It's all these like flower, leaves, straw, or sacrificial altar, whatever. And priests who perform sacrifice. And who perform sacrifice invoke the names of demigods again, worship of demigods. They are created from this. He created from the body parts of the Supreme. And then this verse, again. I arrange for all these ingredients from the personal parts of the Lord. By invocation of demigods' names, the ultimate goal, Vishnu, is gradually attained. See, through the demigods, gradually, ultimate goal, Vishnu, is attained. After many lifetimes, probably. Not probably, but definitely. And thus, compensation or reward for the ultimate offering was completed. Finally, you get, see. Finally, You can imagine your activities, you know, all of us have experience. You want something and then you need sacrifice. You have to earn money, you know, you want maybe letters, car or something materially. You work so hard. Of course, nowadays you get credit, get immediately, you know, like before it was not like that. You have to have. So finally, after a long time, you achieve your goals, whatever, and then you get it. You get this as your key. Or you want a house in an amazing district somewhere. Work hard, and finally, as a key. Wow. You know, like kind of you feel, wow, that's the result of my great austerities. And definitely is happy. It's kind of very blissful moment. Yes. Wow. Finally, you know. It's like liberating. It's very liberating because, oh, the peak of my activities. Of course, it lasts for short, materially, but just gives you idea, you know. So after a long, long, long time performing these sacrifices, something tweaks in his mind, somebody's, and he kind of realizes, let me do something more. This is such a long process. And then finally, you come to the Vishnu, and then you get the reward of all these lifetimes of sacrifices. That's it. Of course, he said that all these fire sacrifices were performed all the way up to Maharaj Yudhishthira. This was a process, more or less. After Maharaj Yudhishthira, of course, Kali Yuga entered. And then, of course, it's Sankirtan Yagya, only Yagya. We are so fortunate. Sankirtan Yagya is meant for this age. Although these sacrifices are still performed to the demigods, majority, all over India, wherever there is Vedic kind of remnants, wherever people from India live, still yagyas after yagya. We can see many temples everywhere, on every continent, wherever there are Indians. The Hindu temple, yagyas going on for different purposes. Because say, people do know this, they don't know that the ultimate goal is Vishnu. They think that goal is to please Agni or Surya or whatever when they perform these yagyas. They don't know this goal Vishnu, although his name is chanted, Narayan, but he's just one of the demigods, three deities. So they think, you know, like satisfy Agni to get something, or create auspiciousness, or bring forth the rain, or, you know, or if it's too much rain, bring some sun to dry out. So that's the kind of mainly what people do in all this yagya, you know, to have sufficient grains to, you know, more for necessity of life. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, you know, you acknowledge those authorities and perform those yagya. You cannot just take. Prabhupada said many times, you know, sun is, day is not just, you know, you have to acknowledge that at least, see. And then finally, can achieve the Vishnu, see. And what about practicing sadhana? Is that the same? You perform so much sadhana, so many rounds, so restrained, whatever, and finally you achieve something, Vishnu, whatever. Is that also finally, oh, I got there. I got sannyas. I mean, Hare Krishna. Like, whatever. It's not like that. It's constant. But one thing is that the kingdom of God is waiting for us. That's ultimate. Through this sadhana, actually there is a state where you go there and I wake up and realize, wow, I'm with Krishna after so many lifetimes. So whatever we do is one goal. We're going home. That's a practice of sadhana. And finally, there is a state. We're going home. Whatever you do, somehow, little more adds to it. We're going home. Finally, after lifetimes and lifetimes of travels here. Yeah. So all these ingredients, whatever, you know, very most common idea. People is that kind of separate, I mean, that what it says here. Yeah, that is a separate energy. But Vaishnava see everything as an in connection with the Supreme. So we use separate material energy in the service of the source of energy. That's the distinction between Vaishnavas or personalists. What's that? Water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. These eight, these are separated energy of the Supreme. But we use all this to the Supreme, to the service of the Supreme. So, like, we are not imagining something, like, you know, like a small child playing with a doll or something, and imagine that this is a real character, celebrity, whatever, or some concocted character from fairy stories, and we play and we imagine, yeah, this is supreme, deity is supreme, we playing with the dolls, and like, what does that, Radhanath Swami said, yeah, yes, he brought his father, he was Pujari at that time, I don't know, he's at New Vrindavan or some, or America or somewhere else, brought his father and showed him deities, he was so much into deity worship, and he was thinking his father would be impressed, look at this is deity we worship, we offer him food, and after, his father called him, my dear son, he said, I invested so much in you, your education, bringing up. Is that a result of you playing with the dolls? He said, he couldn't understand. So they think also, we're playing with dolls. We just, you know, imagine something, like, you know, imagine some real character, you know. That's what they accuse us for. And all his stories, whatever, pastimes of Krishna, some imaginary stories, we think, you know, you just imagine something, like, you know, or we just feel firmly believe in us that, you know, like, that's what people accuse us of. This is just imagination. The other day on a class, somebody said, this is just imagination. This is Krishnamurti or something, stated that those pastimes, whatever, it's just imagination. You know, Krishna is imagination and stuff. And Brahma, next few words continues that having all this paraphernalia I gather from the body of the Supreme, I perform sacrifice to please the Lord. It's interesting, I don't recall any pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam where it's stated how Brahma performed fire sacrifice. Usually he's invited by somebody else, great kings or whatever, great sages, as a kind of honorable guest to perform sacrifice, fire sacrifice. But it's interesting. And he said in later verses that he performs sacrifice and then his 10 sons perform sacrifice and then other sages, whatever. But yeah, I can recall just one pastime, which is sometime narrated in our classes. I think it's from Padma Purana. When, yeah, Lord Brahma wanted to perform sacrificial yagya at Pushkara, I think. Yeah, Pushkara. And he performed great ceremonies, great, and then time was to perform sacrifice. But his wife, Sachi, she was not ready yet. He was waiting for her, you know, ladies, you know, this makeup, this, that, this jewelry, because Brahma is topmost there. She will be presented is her best. And she was not there, and astrologically, time was coming up. You know, she was not there. And then Lord Brahma said to Indra, just get me some girl and marry quickly, and then we perform sacrifices because it's needed. Astrologically, that's a moment. And then Lord Indra was not even time to search. Lord Indra just nearby saw some cowherd girl, pick up cowherd girl, come. But because she was of low caste, she needs to be purified. So, and she said, they took her, those in Brahmanas, they took these girls, cowherd girls, and they put her through the cow, from the mouth all the way to the back of the cow, put her through, and that she was purified, because it's considered that cow is of the same caste as Brahmana. So she was purified and suitable as a wife. And then, of course, they married, and then sacrifice was performed. But of course, when Brahma's wife came, she was furious. I don't recall what's happened later, but I don't know if she performed austerities or something. She tried to renounce him. She was so hurt. But that's the thing. That's a kind of sacrifice, fire sacrifice I can recall about Lord Brahma. And I'm interested in that. That's the birth of Gayatri. We mentioned the other day Gayatri. This cow, her girl, she got named Gayatri after Ga means cow, Yatri means to pull through, like Yatra, Rata, Yatra. Yatra means to pull. So Gayatri, from that time, Gayatri is born in that time. And of course, on the end of this, then Narada, I mean, Brahma said to Narada, I explain whatever you have to. We have whatever you're asking me about creation, so is it completed? That's a kind of my notes. If somebody has some reflection further on this verse, please share with us for enlightenment of all. Okay, 15 minutes left. I'm finished. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. So, thank you for your class, Taruna Prabhu. You spoke briefly about, this concept of thinking that the deities are imaginary, that like dolls or the pastimes are imaginary. But, for one without faith, like how would we approach discussing these things with them? Actually, the deity is God. Actually, these pastimes do happen, they have happened, and they are happening in the spiritual world. Like, how does one approach that conversation with someone who doesn't have faith that these pastimes happen, who doesn't have faith that the deities are God? How is that approached?
There's a way to beginning this, but you don't jump straight into it. I mean, of course, if somebody comes as often to see the deities, this beauty, most of the cases, just kind of overwhelms viewers because, there's such elaborate thing. This is a mature man, he's not playing with it at all, There's a many ways to explain that all pastimes of the Lord. If you don't have attraction for Krishna initially, you wouldn't, Therefore, when we go to whatever books, whatever, it started with basic, as a yoga, his meditation, free from stress, better way of life. And through this, they will get Krishna, they will get some preliminary qualification, be in touch with devotees, Only one who chants, start to chant holy name, then he accepted Krishna already. That means they become devotees. Before that is long struggle, shedding tons of blood. Depends on your realizations, intelligence, how you're going to explain. There's no really formula. I would like to really ask somebody else to say, enlighten us more about this. All of you have experience. Please, anyone. How to present that aspect. Anyone to share something?
I think probably you got to begin with philosophy to kind of philosophically at least explain that form is not limiting, that form is not necessarily material. And, there are different philosophical arguments you can do to kind of begin to establish that at least philosophically it's not illogical that God has a form and that God can appear in matter and that matter is not limiting or impure. So Shastra has a lot of arguments to kind of at least philosophically begin that discussion. But then ultimately we know that it has to be a reciprocation, because it has to begin to try to somehow relate to Krishna in that way and experience something more. So, that's what I would say. Begin with philosophy, at least to logically establish it, and then try to take someone to a higher level whereby they can actually begin some kind of exchange. Like that.
Yeah, some realization, some experience of person then they can change. And definitely, you give them process, I mean, they will experience, all of us, doesn't matter how fallen we are, how we struggle in our practice, there's a glimpse of Krishna kind of, you know, you cannot say he's not, of course, Maya covers you, I think sometimes I'm sick of it, maybe tired of it, I can do any more or something. But there are, if you just recall all these moments that, my goodness, you know, I don't know anything, but this cannot be just stories. I mean, like, look at this elaborate, who will write entire Vedas, like, take Srimad Bhagavatam as the essence. Like, persons who are, cannot imagine their learning capabilities. It's such an elaborate description. This actually, which attracted me, is like, no way that somebody can take and concoct all this. You know, they said like, well, they said that all Vedas are written by some sages, like on drugs, like, you know, smoking, whatever, pan or drugs, and then this is the product of their hallucination. I mean, if you have experience with any intoxicant, you know, the hallucination is a mess, you know. Once I tried to write some things, I would just laugh. Because, you know, so you cannot get such a... Even if you are controlled as a yogi, you can maybe control those, whatever, hallucination in some sense. But, man, look at this cream of knowledge. I mean, just... I can see, think whatever you want, do whatever you want, get reactions whatever you want. I know what I'm doing. Anyway, this personal. But for preaching is a thankless task. How to present, you know. How did you got? How did you got, anyway? What's your experience? Yeah, how did you accept it? These wild stories, imaginations, dolls, whatever it is. It was a moment of, I mean, like, of course, behind us, behind you, heaps of pious activities was not so maybe difficult. I don't think anyone first time just comes here, you know. It's a lifetime, so it... Yeah, sorry.
I think it just started, you know, the name, that's all. Like, the name.
Name, and see. Nama, Rupa, no, Guna,
yeah. Da, da, da. Yeah, so it's just that. You know, we talk about how powerful the name is so much. Yes. So, you know, that's where it started. And then the faith can develop very quickly from there if you believe in the holy name. Yeah.
Of course. You can be atheist or something and chant. I mean, like, why would... It melts away from you all these impurities. In that degree, to proceed. Anyone else has some... Anyway, it would be nice to hear. There's a 5 minutes... somebody's experience, how he got, how he accepted, how he, you know, like, I mean, these are all miracles, but if anyone here who kind of think he just started his spiritual life, out of blue, he just accepted, I mean, how is that? Srinivas, your devotees for lifetimes, I mean, I don't think you...
I'm just okay. Saying, Prabhupada's quotation.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Prabhupada said, if you're trying to approach Krishna directly, take many births.
Yeah.
If you go through the devotees,
Of course, Krishna doesn't come. I mean, you know, in one sense, it comes in a way, but it doesn't come directly to preach on the Oxford Street or something.
I mean, even Krishna takes a spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya, to show the example to us, the importance of Param Parampara.
Yeah.
That's the way you approach it.
We are just mouthpiece. For all parampara, that's all, yeah. Anyway, if somebody wants to just share
also,
something.
Prabhupada gave an example. He said, just like you can't approach any woman on the street, you have to love me.
Yeah, oh no, that doesn't work.
You have to develop relationships.
Maybe it works.
If you're serving Krishna, you serve Krishna, then the relationship develops all the time. Like that.
Yeah. Sometimes happens this also. I heard the other day a lecture. Anyway, it's nothing to do with class. Somebody said, I think a Prabhupada disciple, she met some guy from Pakistan in America, and then somehow they just start picking up talks. She said, oh, I have to leave America, you know, I cannot stay, why cannot be visa? And she said, if you marry somebody, you can stay. To whom I will marry? She said, can marry you, can marry me. And actually they married, and then happy life. It like happened that she married him, he got a visa, and then still living together. Anyway, sorry, this is out of the topic. Anyway. Anyone? Okay, should we finish now? It's time. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Ramana Purana ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Om.